The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So just to encourage, maybe I'll see if I can mute you guys just so for the recording. So welcome, welcome. And I'm going to continue with reading poems from this book, The First Free Women, by Matti Weingast. And I think maybe I'll start by reading the poem, and then I'll unpack it a little bit. It's, you'll see after I read this. It's pretty short. I once spent a week in bed with a bad fever. My little body stank from head to foot. Of course, I never noticed the smell until after my fever had broken. Not that this little story necessarily has anything to do with you. And that's the end. Right? So it's so often that, you know, as we understand ourselves better, we understand others better. So part of, as we start to appreciate, like, okay, cultivating loving kindness, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to feel care and compassion and warmth for other people. Sometimes it's hard to feel care, compassion, warmth for ourselves. And just as we see that sometimes we struggle with this, or I don't know, don't have access to it all the time, then we start to understand, oh yeah, other people don't have access to it all the time. So even though we might have interactions with people in which they are not warm, they are not caring, it doesn't mean that they are inherently unwarm, uncaring people. It just means that they didn't have access to it at that time. It just means that for whatever reason at that moment, they behaved in that way. We may never know why. So as we see some of the conditions that support our being able to show up with some warm-heartedness, some care, so we start to understand some of the conditions that make it so it's more and more difficult for us to show up with warm-heartedness and care, then we can start to understand, oh, this is the human condition. This is what it means to be a human, is that we can cultivate different aspects of our life. We can train and cultivate the mind so that it's easier and easier to show up with an open mind and open heart. And in the exact same way, if you train being closed, you know, that's not, we don't think of it as training, but what we do over and over again, of course, is training. So we can, if you spend one's life hearing certain messages, feeling like the world's an unsafe place, or feeling like you never have enough, then of course that's how you show up in the world and that's how you interact with others. So part of this meditation training, whether it's for loving kindness or mindfulness or concentration or anything like this, every time we like start an endeavor, some of the self-understanding that we gain also helps us understand others. And maybe like sometimes, maybe the best version of ourselves, our best wisdom doesn't show up. Maybe that's what's happening with others too. So without condoning their behavior, but also not closing our hearts and assuming that people are inherently caring or something. There's probably scenarios, scenes in which they are. So I'll read this poem again. I once spent a week in bed with a bad fever. my little body stank from head to foot. Of course, I never noticed the smell until after my fever had broken. Not that this little story necessarily has anything to do with you. Yeah, it's kind of this playfulness here. For me, that's how I'm interpreting it. So the more we understand ourselves, the more we can understand others. I'm not saying that other people stink necessarily, but just noticing how sometimes we're unaware of what's the way we show up in the world or the way our minds are influencing us. And then every time we learn something new, greater self-understanding just helps us appreciate others better. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation.
It sounds sort of like a koan to me.
A koan, that's fantastic. We can take it as a koan. Not that the story has anything to, no, what is, not that the story necessarily, not that this little story necessarily has anything to do with you. Something to practice with. Thank you, Brian. Something to practice with. Okay. So let's begin by just settling in. Feeling the body. Feeling what it feels like to sit here at this moment. Feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. It's the back, the backside, the legs. Feeling connected, grounded. Bringing some aliveness to an awareness of the body. What does it feel like to be embodied? Can be supportive for meditation to do a little bit of a body scan. Noticing the sensations around the eyes and mouth. Common places to hold tension. We can check in with the shoulders, having the shoulder blades slide down the back. And the upper back and the lower back. Nothing in particular has to happen. We're just bringing our attention to different areas of the body. And recognizing that sometimes that's helps some more ease, some more relaxation to arise. In the chest, in the belly, and feeling the sensations of breathing, the movement of the chest, or the movement of the belly. Or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. And just resting attention here with the sensations of breathing. If you find the mind wandering, just very gently, kindly begin again with the sensations of breathing. Then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, a being that's easy to feel warmth, care, kindness for. Just feeling into, what does it feel like when you bring this being to mind? Is there an inner smile of some sort? And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing yourself to feel supported, nourished by this intention to be cultivating warm-heartedness, friendliness, care. This is a beautiful, wholesome thing to be doing. And then to build on this foundation of loving kindness and expand it to include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Notice if there's any hesitation, any resistance. For cultivating loving kindness for yourself. Can you have kindness for the resistance or the hesitation? Allowing it to be there. Not trying to shove it away, push it away. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You might just notice, what are the conditions that support developing loving kindness for yourself? What are the conditions that make it more difficult? We can imagine that other people have these conditions too. Then to expand our loving kindness for a neutral person, somebody we don't know, somebody we don't have a relationship with. Might be somebody on this call, might be somebody you see in the neighborhood. It's helpful if there's a specific individual that you can bring to mind. It's not as easy as just an abstract idea, but this can be really powerful to choose an individual. And bringing them to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. The neutral person might take a little more energy, a little more effort to keep them in mind. Can you do that without striving, without straining? And if you need to, maybe dip back in, so to speak, loving kindness for a lovable being or for yourself. Something's a little bit easier to freshen up the sense of warmth in some kind of way. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. This poem starts with, I once spent a week in bed with a bad fever. When we have a bad fever, we often hallucinate. Or a little bit delirious. Are there ways in which we're not seeing things clearly? Then we can do some equanimity practice. The world can use lots of equanimity. So for this practice, bring to mind somebody that you do have a relationship with, that you care about. And sometimes they're a little bit irksome. We can say this phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of not seeing clearly, having a high fever, being delirious, but not realizing how we are, and then gaining some clarity. And maybe also recognizing that you can't tell people things and, you know, there's not like some of these insights, some of these self-understandings, we all have to understand them for ourselves. We can't just tell people, you know, you're like this, it's like that. We can help create the conditions in which they might understand, but when we have some understandings, some insights, maybe just encourage others, rather than telling them, this is how it is. It's one way to, we might understand that poem. So, to provide an opportunity for you to discuss this, maybe because this poem is short, I'll read it again just quickly. I once spent a week in bed with a bad fever. My little body stank from head to foot. Of course, I never noticed the smell until after my fever had broken. Not that this little story necessarily has anything to do with you. While we were meditating, I realized one way to think about this is saying that other people smell, and that wasn't what I was thinking, but it's just, you know, the insights that we have about ourselves can be positive or negative. You know, other people are the same too, right? It's part of the human experience. So I put you into groups of three or four, and you have an opportunity to discuss either that poem or maybe how this meditation period was for you. And let's do it by birth month. So if you're born in January, you can go first, and if you're born in December, you'd go last. And no need to say everything you know about this topic all at once, but maybe just say one or two things and then have it go to the next person and the next person and the next person, then have it come around. And that way everybody has an opportunity to share, as well as an opportunity to create something together with everybody contributing. Okay, so have fun. Okay, welcome back. So, are there some comments or questions somebody would like to make? No?
I'll go.
Hi, Kathleen.
It was interesting. In the, you know, stimulated
in part by the poem about what do we do when the fever keeps distance, is that some in our group were talking about ways that we could expand our connecting with each other in the Sangha if people want to be able to go, you know, to share addresses or to have a membership, a list or something like that, so that people can follow up. I mean, that's what sort of just came out. It's like, well, all right, there's a lot of fevers around, but how can we, you know, find somebody else? Thanks, Diane.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Kathleen.
I'll go, Diane. I happen to love the story. I thought it was very, how can I put it? It's whimsical, but it's, and there's a touch of sarcasm in it, but it certainly supports what she was trying, what I think she was trying to say. I mean, I can go for years not understanding something in the spiritual sense, and all of a sudden it's very clear to me. And it doesn't happen because I worked at it. It's just something lifts and I see in the spiritual truth. I enjoyed, and it's, I mean, she did it in so few words and with such a simple image. I thought it was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Yeah, I kind of like the whimsy of it also. And Glenn, I see that you've unmuted yourself. I don't know if that was intentional that you wanted to share or.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. And Jerry, yes.
In our group, there was at least a few people had said that initially when you read it, I thought it was a bit simple, the poem. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's over already? Is this, where's the meat? And then, but as you started thinking about it more, it was more complex. And I had shared in the group, I'll share here in the larger one, but it got me to thinking about, you know, when we all have fevers has a pretty intense immune reaction going on. And of course, you can have hallucinations, but it also can be, pain and suffering can be great masters. And so when you're in it, it's sort of like the narcissism of the sufferer. There's no suffering like mine. Mm-hmm. And of course you miss other parts of what might be going on, that you end up smelling like a dog who's gone through a swamp, but at the end of a week, and sort of brought you to a larger thinking about, maybe there's a whole bunch of other things that I'm not recognizing about things that affect me and may affect others. So it grabbed you after a while and caused you to start thinking about all those micro changes that are happening all the time and we're not aware of them until we look at them.
Thank you, Jerry. Yeah, that's very nicely put. Yeah, all these little changes and that also that when we're sick, that's a very good point. We're just trying to get by, right? We're so consumed with how we feel. We're not, you know, our most generous or both with our thoughts and our gestures. And nice. Thank you. Okay, so it's the top of the hour. So I want to respect your time. So thank you all. It's beautiful to practice with you. And tomorrow will be Dawn Neal. She's substituting for Nikki tomorrow. So, and I'll, an invitation to unmute us. Did you have something you wanted to say, Kathleen?
Or no, I was just waving goodbye.
Okay, let's, goodbye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Love you both.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.
Diana.
Bye, Diana.
Bye, Diana.
You, Diana, is here.
Thank you, Diana.
Yes. Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Glenn.
Diana, can I ask one more question?
Sure, Brian.
Okay, well, it's a little bit about background of the poem. People in my group said that was written by a woman who was a contemporary of the Buddha. Is that correct?
Well, so
There is a collection of poems that are written by women who was a contemporary of the Buddha. These were students of the Buddha. They talk about, you know, speaking to the Buddha. And this new book that came out is, it calls itself a translation. However, I study Pali. It's more inspired by, in my opinion, it's more inspired by what's actually preserved in these discourses from thousands of years ago. So if we look at the original language, it doesn't come out exactly like this, but this is this author's interpretation of it. So,
well, I'm sort of curious. I mean, because, you know, back then they didn't have poems in the way we think of poems, you know, like something like that would have been more like, I would think, a letter or something like that, wouldn't it? Or,
So they didn't have writing in the way that we use writing now. The certainly paper didn't exist. And so most things were preserved, you know, orally. And the only things that were written down were like business transactions. And it was held to all the religious people memorized things. So it kind of felt like writing was something a little bit lower. You wouldn't ever like write something really important down. That was something to be memorized. These collection of poems are about their awakening experiences. So this is, you know, about inspired by somebody else's awakening experience.
And is the you she's referring to a particular person or an abstraction or?
Yeah, that's a great question. And scholars like to argue about this. Is she just speaking, you know, metaphorically, just you, like everybody else? Or is somebody, the Buddha, presumably saying this to her? Probably the Buddha wouldn't be talking about like this way, but who is the you is not clear. So I'm assuming that it's first person, the nun had this idea and she's saying it to one of her friends, another nun or something. That's the assumption I'm making.
What's the title of the book again, Diana?
The First Free
First Woman,
by Matti Weingast.
Guest. Okay.
Oh.
First Free Woman.
And so
thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. There's other versions of these poems, verses. Maybe I'll say also as verses, the Buddha spoke a lot in verse. So there's a lot of verse that are preserved in the, what's preserved, what actually happened, of course, we don't know. But there are other translations that are wildly different. So, you know, this one is a little bit
spooky. It'd be interesting to hear a different translation because that might elucidate things a little more. Because, you know, I frankly found this kind of a difficult poem to unpack.
Yeah. And that's part of the beauty of poems, I think. It's like, okay, maybe they are straightforward. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's something that later you make sense, but at the time you don't. And I like that there's multiple interpretations. I kind of like that instead of insisting there's only one way or something.
Well, in my experience, they sort of, it depends on one's own life experience and what they resonate with, and for some people a certain poem might not resonate at all, you know, because their life experience was so different.
Of course. So there are other translations that are freely available on the web. I can put in the chat box. So this collection of poems is called Terigata. There's a, see how it's spelled here. Maybe I should have done this before. Let's see, to put it in the. So Terigata is spelled this way, T H E R I G A T H A.
Okay.
And there's.
That's the author?
No, that's the collection of poems. It's called that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The author, there's supposed to be, you know, 27 different nuns, I think 27. I don't remember the exact number.
Okay.
There's also a Terigata, and that's the equivalent of men's poems.
Okay.
So men who have become awakened, who have uttered some of these things too.
Okay. Well, I'll look it up. I'll see. Yeah. So yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about this.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating that there's this collection of verses that are attributed to women from thousands of years ago. It's the earliest collection of any literature whatsoever that the human beings have. It's attributed to these Buddhist women.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's nice. Right.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good evening.
Good night, Metta.
Good night, Diana. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.